Alone belongs the highest praise, and therefore we open our hearts to you. May it not just be our lips that sing your praise, but our lives. And we express before you once again, we need the help of your word. We pray that word would be sown in good soil. Thank you for those good things in our hearts, and we pray you'd expand them and cause them to bless us and bless others. For Jesus' sake, amen. Please be seated. Thank you once again, music group. If you're here for the first time today, we're looking at some psalms, and it's Psalm 22 today. There are some handouts. If you didn't get them yesterday, I've just got three left. They'll wave them. I'll copy some more if you want them. Each day I'm making a general point about the psalms and then looking at Psalm 22 in a particular way. The general point from yesterday was that the Psalms are Israel's songbook and they're best said together, although we might well reflect that today's psalm might well have use in our own private thoughts and devotions, because I'm speaking about the importance of honesty. Now, the importance of Israel's songbook is that they're better to be said together, underlines the fact that our Christian lives are really only working as they should when we meet together with other Christians regularly. And also today, the general point, our lives are only lived well when we are honest. Not just merely honest, but totally honest. Ever since the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve hid from God, and God has to say rather amusingly, "So where are you?" I mean, he kind of knows, but it was to give them a chance to be honest and come out from their hiding. Ever since then, I don't mean to be dumbing this down, and please laugh if you feel able to, because this is a particularly irreverent joke. Baked bean spirituality, it's better out than in, applies. Thank you, my curate laughs, she gets my humour straight away. Honesty is the best policy. And I always have a smile on my face, and if I'm in a bad mood, I might well take someone on. But most people who aren't Christians, who have a sort of belligerent attitude to Christian things, to Christian way of living, to church going, to a belief in God, and they've got all sorts of arguments stacked up, and you just think, well, I wonder which bit of the Bible they've read. They've probably only read a little bit, or if any, nothing at all. And I sometimes find, and also if the surveys are to be believed, church-going Christians cherry-pick from the Bible, maybe even cherry-pick which Sundays they feel like going to. But actually, honesty is the best policy, and if you don't read the Bible, and particularly don't read the Psalms, you will be missing out on one of the greatest gifts that's there in Holy Scripture. Every range of human emotion is there. You'll say to yourself, well, God can't possibly understand my predicament. Actually, it's written about. I remember a dear friend of mine, and because he was a dear friend of mine, actually he was the best man at my wedding. I'm still in touch with him. He's got a rare and unique gift of not being able to cry. The releasing of tears from the tear ducts is God's gift to us to release tension and emotion. And I've discovered a few other people like this who just seemingly can't cry, and they find other ways of, better out than in, of letting out what your true feelings are. In the Psalms, every range of human emotion is there. One of the most intriguing for me is a glorious pastoral soft psalm. You might well be thinking it's a glorious sunny day. You'd be on the beach. You'd be sipping something nice. You feel that God, you know, God and the world is just simply so pleasant. And then tucked in there are two raging verses of hate and anger. And I've had people reading this. Oh, I like this bit of the psalm, but I don't like that bit. God can cope with your anger. Unless you release it somewhere, it will come out sideways. And if you think to yourself that my particular problem is so severe that no one's ever understood it, and oftentimes people isolate themselves, or their personalities are shriveled up because that particular emotion never comes out and never gives birth to the rest of them that's there, then Psalm 22 is one particular psalm to think about. And we are on staggeringly holy ground because it was the very psalm Jesus was thinking about when he was on the cross. And of course, he would have thought about these words well before them, maybe even in Gethsemane. There are 150 psalms from exaltation of emotion to the depths of despair and all stations in between. Oh, if the watching world would get a handle on some of these things, how they would see God is with them. Oh, if the Christian community would actually read the whole psalm, read the whole book of Psalms, then they would see there is an emotional traveling companion for them. Even God himself, who's put this book there for our benefit and blessing. Better out than in, the importance of honesty. Now I'm going to read Psalm 22, and as I feel prompted, I'll stop and make a comment. It's better if you just listen. If you want to follow in the scriptures, we're not going to have it on the screen today. And as I read this, think about Christ, think about him being on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, and am not silent. These are the very words that Jesus said from the cross, the cry of dereliction. And it was the only time in his earthly life he was to die 6 hours later. It was the only time in his earthly life he ever used that word God. Every other description was of God as Father. Because on the cross that relationship was somehow being tortured and severed. Such despair, not the pain and the agony, but the separation from the one who was his all in life. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried out to you and you were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. If you're the Son of Man, come down from the cross, they mocked. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust you even from my mother's breast. From the birth I was cast upon you, from my mother's womb you've been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me, a band of evil men has encircled me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. The nail-pierced hands and feet described in intimate detail. They divide my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing. Even Jesus' clothes were gambled away, a prophecy fulfilled. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Even in the midst of suffering, you have a sense in which the psalmist is holding out for the hope of resurrection, which of course was Christ's after 3 days, for our blessing. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They will seek the Lord, will praise him. May your hearts live forever. And in the very last verse, they will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. There is a very real and perplexing question to ask ourselves for the blessing of others, and I believe it's particularly difficult if you're going through such a cross-like experience, but there is some fruit and blessing from it. Why is all this happening? In fact, the word is there, my God, why? There doesn't appear to be any answer. What do you do when you believe and trust in God, but he literally feels absent? We might like to reflect that the person who obeyed God the most, in fact 100% with all of his life, was Jesus Christ himself. And perhaps God trusted Jesus with total obedience, that he could rely on him in the face of such perplexity and pain. Perhaps, only perhaps, those the Lord trusts most, those the Lord wants the most closest intimate fellowship with, in some strange reason will be those the Lord himself just says, for a moment, you might well feel forsaken. But as with Christ in his obedience on the cross, this can be trusted for some eternal purpose. For Christ, it is our salvation. But sometimes trials, testings, and temptations are given to the Lord's people because he loves us, not more than anyone else, but because he trusts us and knows we can cope with it. It's cold comfort, quite literally, to say you have greater dignity and stature if you are suffering with the Lord and feel he's not there. But that you are in great company is perfectly clear from this psalm. What it feels like, only you will know. But know this, God knows as well, and has provided a means by which the better out than in, these feelings that are turbulent and painful within you, can be expressed. God's gift in his holy word, seed sown, I trust, once more in good soil. Now we're going to say a prayer now. It's the Lord's Prayer, and the words will be on the screen. We might like to reflect as we pray this, that the Lord will give us daily bread today, but the suffering of those who feel that the Father has left them, we trust is not ours today, as we come to him as his children and say these beautiful words in contrast to what Christ went through. My God, why? We say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Honesty with God, but of course, if it helps to chat, you'll find plenty of experience and listening ears amongst our fellowship. Do please use that. Let me pray for us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. We pray for our brothers and sisters, even perhaps here, who feel God is absent from them or distant. We thank you that in some strange way Christ is there and knows what it feels like. We pray for us today. Help us to be kind and sympathetic to each other, and even through it all, know the power of the resurrection, strengthening our lives and our ministries. We pray for the children we seek to serve, many with difficulties in their homes. We pray for them. We pray for the God who wants to draw alongside, be there with them. For Jesus' sake, amen.